This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Looking to start a side hustle or become your own boss? Do it with Shopify. Whether you're selling succulents or stilettos, Shopify has the industry-leading tools to help you create, control, and grow your own business. So get serious about selling and get Shopify today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.co.uk/special offer.
When sound waves travel through the ear, they help us connect to the world and the people around us. But hardened earwax can interfere with a sound wave's journey. Otex Express is a dual-action formula that softens hardened wax and releases oxygen to help it break down and disperse. No other eardrops are more effective than clinically proven Otex Express from the number one selling Otex range. Be clear to hear with Otex. For verification, visit otexear.com.
From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
To build a great business, you must change people's behavior. But how? Many entrepreneurs can't do it. They craft a solution with love and care, and they enter in a marketplace with optimism and expectations, and they believe that their idea is so valuable that people will immediately see its genius. But too often, consumers look at the new product or service, and they just think, I don't need that, and then it dies. Ivan Zhao has thought a lot about this, because at first, his product died too. Back in 2013, Zhao believed that lots of people wanted to build apps and websites, but they were too hard to build. So that is why he created a company called Notion, which helped people build digital products easily. But nobody wanted it. Total flop. What happened next has become kind of lore in tech circles. Zhao and his co-founder, Simon Last, moved from San Francisco to Kyoto, Japan, where they disconnected from the world of hyper-growth tech founders to refocus their startup and eventually be joined by a third co-founder, Ashke Kattari, and they developed a new vision for Notion, rebuilding it as a flexible collaboration and productivity tool. Zhao calls it Lego for software, which will probably only make sense to someone who has actually used Notion. And it's a little hard to imagine for anyone who hasn't. So in short, just stay with me here. Imagine a blank page with infinite building capabilities. You can create tables, which means that you can make to-do lists or sales trackers. You can create calendars, which means that you can make content planners or coordinate with colleagues, and so on. You can design presentations in Notion, schedule social media posts in Notion, and you can add other users to any project so many people can collaborate in one space. So instead of flipping around between tools like Google Docs, Excel, PowerPoint, reminders, a calendar, etc. It all just lives there in Notion, easily organized in a navigation bar and easily searched or summarized with AI. This idea caught on, and then it caught fire. Notion was growing so fast and earning so much that its co-founders were turning away investors. In 2021, Notion reached a $10 billion, with a B, billion-dollar valuation. In 2024, it reached 100 million users. It is fast becoming the default tool, not only for college students and Gen Z, but also collaborative office workers worldwide. At the start of this, Zhao says, he didn't have the words for how to change people's behavior and build a great business, or why any of this thing that he did actually worked. He just had intuition.
I can say it a little bit more clearly now.
Yeah. That's Zhao's voice. And for him, the clearest explanation has something to do with the Beatles. Now, okay, let me pause for a second and give you some context for what you just heard and what you're going to hear today. I sat down with Ivan Zhao, the CEO and co-founder of Notion, for an interview, a really special interview, to write a story for the cover of Entrepreneur Magazine in the November-December issue. It's on stands now. You can find it. And we unfortunately did not have a chance to do this in a nice podcast studio. We instead were sitting on the building that Notion is housed in Manhattan. It was super noisy. There was often like music blasting and airplanes. It's just the whole thing. I'll give you a little flavor of this underneath here. And all of which is to say that today, instead of playing you a conversation with Ivan, which is just going to be barely audible, I am going to read you the story that I wrote about Ivan. It is a story that in one way is about how to change user behavior, but is really about how to understand human behavior. Because if you can understand how humans think and how systems work, then you can better understand how to build great products for them and then to iterate those products so that they come to you. Ivan is one of the most philosophical founders I have ever sat down with, and I think you're really going to enjoy understanding how he thinks and how those insights can help you build a better business. And that's what's coming up after the break.
Stop sitting at your desk. Truly, I know you got a lot of work to do. I got a lot of work to do, but here's what I've learned. Walking away and getting outdoors is what gives you the energy to actually get the work done, and you should have an Amazfit T-Rex 3 on your arm. What is the Amazfit T-Rex 3? It's a tough, all-weather smartwatch built for outdoor enthusiasts and fitness fans. With a battery lasting over 3 weeks, it handles extreme temperatures and is waterproof up to 328 feet. Its bright 1.5-inch screen displays GPS maps, workout stats, and sleep recovery info, while its AI voice control lets you adjust settings or send messages hand-free. I'll admit, I am not as outdoorsy as I'd like to be, but I've been wearing the T-Rex 3 on hikes and while rucking, and I love it. It's so useful. Navigation, fitness tracking, weather updates, whatever you need, give it a try. Just go to us.amazfit.com/solvers. Amazfit, by the way, is spelled A-M-A-Z-F-I-T. So again, that is us.amazfit.com/solvers.
All right, we're back. Today, I am reading the cover story that I wrote on Ivan Zhao, co-founder and CEO of Notion. And let's pick it up. The philosopher founder. Ivan Zhao does not talk like most successful founders. He has no talking points. He doesn't try to hype or sell or convince you of anything. Instead, he quotes books and speaks abstractly. He treats business like a philosopher would, talking about it as a thought experiment come to life. For example, consider the first topic of our conversation, customer service. It does not go where you'd expect. Notion is famously user-centric. Its early users started building useful tools on Notion, which they shared on social media. Notion then created a way for users to download templates and sell them on third-party marketplaces. And this fall, it launched its own native marketplace, too. Zhao says that many of those creators now make north of $1 million a year on it. And as a result, Notion users have a lot to say. They have questions. They want new features. They are flooding the companies with inquiries. So I wanted to know, how does Notion manage all that? First, to answer this, Zhao shows me his phone and starts scrolling through his notifications. "My mom just called me," he says. "Then there's a bunch of support tickets." Honestly, there are more than a bunch. It goes on endlessly. He gets a notification about every ticket. Just to put that in perspective, the co-founder and CEO of a $10 billion company with 100 million users is getting a notification on his personal phone, the same phone his mom calls, every single time a customer asks the company for something. Every time. Why? There are two answers to this. The first is practical. Zhao watches for trends and makes sure that his support team is scaling properly. To him, customer service isn't just about responding to people whack-a-mole style. It's about using all their insights as data, which means that you need to make sense of it at scale. That's why Notion created an elaborate system where every customer interaction is tagged and sorted. Product developers can therefore easily see groupings of exactly the feedback that will help them, and Notion can maintain ongoing communication with customers. "We have a process for people who make a request," Zhao says. "We tag it. So once we release the new product they request, we follow up with you to say, hey, remember you asked for this a year ago? Now we released it." No software company does this. I asked him, how do you build a system like that? What guided him? This is when Zhao starts to get philosophical. He recommends a book called Thinking in Systems by Danella Meadows. It teaches that everything is a system, a series of causes and effects, and that a founder's job is to cultivate that system, understand why it works, and help it thrive. Zhao loves that insight. In his mind, he paired it with another love that he has, of, and this is going to be a little far afield, biology. Zhao points to a point of grass next to us. There's no better system than nature, he says. If we dug this grass up, there might be a beetle. It needs to intake information, output something, survive, and replicate. So if you designed your company like a beetle, how would you design it? This might not be a question that most founders consider, but consider it. What does the beetle need? You need oxygen. You need food, Zhao says. The food must nourish, be processed in the beetle's body, and be outputted as waste. And because beetle poop is rich in nutrients, it's a great fertilizer that helps plants grow. The beetles eat the plants, and the cycle continues in a tidy and renewable way. Zhao wants his company to be structured like this. Your customer gives you the oxygen, which is money, he says, and you need to create value for them in return. You need to intake with your eyes. You need to have some basic processing of your memory. He goes on. The point is, customer service shouldn't just be a thing. It's not just some department that fulfills a task. It must be part of a system, integrated into the whole, like a beetle's mouth is connected to its guts, so that every part of the system can learn from customers, build based on their feedback, and make the customer happy so they return. The business is a beetle. The beetle is a business. That's how Zhao thinks. And now you can appreciate the two concepts that helped him grow. Invariables and the wave. Each are practical, each are philosophical, as well balanced as nature itself. So let's look into those. First, the invariables. If you want to build a good business, you must understand the invariables. What are they? They're the limitations you cannot change. They're the boundaries you must live within. This may sound obvious, but entrepreneurs often overlook them. They become too captivated by their own ideas. They confuse their wants with other people's needs. Business really comes down to understanding human behavior, Zhao says. They are the fundamental invariable. In 2013, when Zhao first created a website and app builder that nobody wanted called Notion, he did not consider one of the most fundamental invariables of human behavior. It is this. Most people are not builders. They don't actually want to create apps or websites or anything else. They are simply users. They want an existing thing to solve their problems. Zhao had built a great product that solved a problem that it turns out only a few people had. So he stepped back and reconsidered. What was his goal? Yeah, fine, he'd made a website and an app builder, but at a more fundamental level, he tried to build software that improves the lives of knowledge workers. So what was their real problem? What invariables defined their needs and lives? Zhao went back in time. If you trace back the arc of software, you have to trace back the arc of the office worker, he says. The office worker is a product of the Industrial Revolution. This is when work became specialized and geographically concentrated. People clustered in cities, then factories, then in offices to organize and sell what they made in the factories. They needed tools for output, like typewriters, and for input, like filing cabinets. That hasn't changed, Zhao says. They need to communicate, store, and retrieve. That is always there. In other words, it's an invariable. But over time, these workers' tasks have become more complicated. Today, we have endless SaaS products to help us communicate, store, and retrieve information. We have a reminder app, a customer relationship management tool, a collaboration tool, and so on. Does it have to be this way, endlessly fragmented? No. Zhao thinks of the opening line of Romance of the Three Kingdoms, a historical novel about the rise and fall of Chinese empires. The book starts with this line. The empire, long divided, must unite. Long united, must divide. Thus it has ever been. Zhao reads that and thinks, everything unites, fragments, and reunites again. In software, it's called bundling and unbundling. The digital age has been full of unbundling. Notion is really just a rebundler. It is a singular app to replace many apps. So that's the invariable that I'm thinking about, he says. It is the invariable of simplicity. A core human desire to get things done easily. But here's the twist that Zhao didn't see coming. When you build a company, you create new invariables, and you cannot violate them either. Zhao learned this the hard way, too. Here's what happened. A few years ago, Zhao saw his competitors roll out project management tools, and he got nervous. He pushed his team to create a competitive tool themselves and then release it as a finished product. That finished product thing is really important to this story because, unlike other Notion creations, this product's features were not very flexible. Users and creators alike were upset because they had come to expect customization. That is literally what is baked into the offering that Notion has, that everything is customizable. The company eventually backtracked and changed the product. And Zhao has thought a lot about this failure, and he now sees his error. He pushed Notion to act in a non-Notion way. I knew all the ways that it wasn't the right decision, he admits, but I wasn't refined enough to listen to myself. But even worse, he'd violated an invariable. Because when you start a company, you are basically telling customers, this is what we do, and this is what you can expect. Those then become invariables. Their needs are fixed, more or less tied with the product, Zhao says. You cannot all of a sudden change. But a question remains. If you cannot change an invariable, then how does anything ever change? After all, companies do change consumer behavior. Zhao's answer to that is this. People can create waves, but it's really difficult and almost impossible. But what you can do is ride the wave. So let's talk about the wave. Every few years, people's behavior changes in some way. Then the invariables shift. Sometimes a little, sometimes a lot. Zhao imagines this as a wave. A founder's job is to go where people are already going, but faster. Airbnb, for example, is credited with changing users' behaviors, introducing the idea of renting people's homes instead of hotel rooms. But Airbnb did not create this change. The idea was already in the air. People were starting to rent out their possessions in the so-called sharing economy, and the 2008 recession left people needing to make money wherever they could. Airbnb rode the wave. Notion is doing this too, Zhao says. It did not create people's frustrations with a fragmented SaaS market. That was decades in the making. The way Zhao sees it, everyone used to use Microsoft in the 90s. And then once cloud computing became strong enough, competitors flooded the market and chipped away at Microsoft's dominance. That was good for a while, but now it's noisy and confusing with so many products and people are craving simplicity. The wave was coming. Notion rides it. When Zhao tells me all this, I make an admission to him. I use Notion. I do. But I struggle to fully adopt it. I'm 44. I grew up in that Microsoft-dominated era, and I learned to write on Microsoft Word. My laptop contains decades worth of nested Microsoft files, and I don't exactly know how or why to fully migrate my habits and systems onto Notion. We're okay with this, Zhao says, totally unfazed. The largest waves are the generational waves. The way he sees it, he is better positioned than Microsoft or Google for the future. Those companies serve older generations with calcified habits. They can't make radical changes to chase Notion without pissing off old folks like me. So instead, he will focus on college students who will develop habits in Notion that they'll take into future jobs. That's not to say that Zhao is disinterested in older generations, but he knows that Notion itself will not compel them to make a change. What will? Here comes another Zhao philosophy. Vitamins don't change user behavior, he says. Painkillers do. To me, personally me, Notion is a vitamin. It's a good and potentially nourishing product that I can also live without. But if you're working at a company of 100 or 1,000 people, Zhao says to me, and you need to use way more tools, then the pain is there and it increases every year. And now you have your 10th browser tab open. We can solve that pain for you. It requires you to change your user behavior somewhat, but it's worth it because it eases your pain. Because in this scenario, Notion stops people's pain and painkillers change behavior. To Zhao, these are the fundamentals of business. They are why Notion works and why any company can work, as long as it understands and accelerates the world that it operates in. You respect the invariables. You build a system. You ride a wave. You serve a painkiller. But whatever words you use, you must know that none of this happens purely by philosophizing. It happens by taking what you think and what you believe and then trying something and watching it fail and then trying it again until you truly understand what people want and what they don't. At the beginning of this podcast, I told you that to build a great business, you must change people's behavior. But no, not really. To build a great business, you must understand people's behavior. It is as simple as a little beetle and as complex as one, too. That is the cover story that I wrote on Ivan Zhao in the November-December issue of Entrepreneur Magazine. You can grab it on stands now, along with, of course, many other great stories about many other great founders. And that's our episode. I would love to hear what you think and maybe even about a problem that you solved. You can find me at my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com. Also, I have some more useful stuff for you. I write a newsletter about how to future-proof yourself and become more adaptable and optimistic. I would love for you to sign up. It is at jasonfeifer.bulletin.com. Also, check out my other podcast. It's called Build for Tomorrow. In each episode, I take on some belief that we have that holds us back from progress and show you why it is not as bad as you think. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media and comes out every Monday morning, so make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss an episode. Thanks to Deepa Shah for production. My name is Jason Pfeiffer. See you next week.